Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The morning team here. I do want to explain why I have my suit and tie on this morning, just so Steve in the newsroom and Mary over at Traffic Central there and Dave in the sports department, so you guys don't start wondering what's going on here. I'm auditioning officially now for the role as anchor of the new WGN America nightly newscast that was announced yesterday. So I thought I'd start by looking the part. I hope you enjoy it.
Where's the tie?
Sort of like an on-air audition, sort of. Yeah.
Well, like yeah. I'll knot up the tie here as we go on this morning. So, big news around here yesterday, and it's kind of cool that they're going to do that out of Chicago, right on Bradley Place there at the Channel 9 studios, which I guess they're building those studios now. 3 hours every night. Actually, 7 nights a week. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And 120, what did they say? 120 to 130 people are going to be hired for this?
Yep.
Lots of new journalism jobs. It's very cool.
Yep. WGN America, the cable channel. And let's see, it's called News Nation. It's going to start this summer. So I'll be pretending to be a TV news anchor all morning, you know, with my tosses to traffic and weather and sports.
Well, you play the part pretty well.
Yeah,
you have done it.
Yeah, you have a little experience in that area.
It's kind of like when CNN started up. Remember that in Atlanta? And everybody was going crazy, auditioning for jobs. And it was like, whoa.
That's right.
In the 80s. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's 5:12. Oh, by the way, Mary, yesterday on the way home, I stopped at a intersection because there's a funeral going through the red light, and I was thinking, this is the dumbest traffic law that there is, that the funeral processions can go through red lights. How many accidents have been caused by this? How many people have been killed because of that? I mean, the person in the funeral procession, the main guest, if you will,
the deceased,
is not in a hurry, so. Would it be terrible if they stopped at a red light? I mean, I almost got, you know, I almost rammed them.
Jackknife?
You don't expect it. And then some of these processions are pretty long. But I guess that's the law, right?
That is the law, yeah. And some of them don't have the signs on their cars sometimes, so you don't know they're part of the funeral procession.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell, have you ever turned on your lights and pretended to be at the tail end of one of them?
No, of course not.
Who would even think of something like that?
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
Good morning, Bob Surratt at 5:18. Time to find out what local story WGN-TV and Nancy Liu are covering. How you doing, Nancy? Oh, let me press your button there. Hello. Hi, there you go.
Good morning to you.
What's up?
Well, I'm in Dixmoor at the police station where, as you may know, the police chief here is Ronald Burge Sr. A commander on the force is Ronald Burge Jr. And as of this morning, he is either on desk duty or administrative leave because he was charged with aggravated battery yesterday, and he was in court. He is now out on bond. This is all linked to an incident back in October when there was some kind of family fight at a home in Dixmoor that spilled out on the street. Police responded, and a bunch of people wound up at the police station where a 66-year-old woman who is a grandmother of a guy who was being arrested, she was using her cell phone to try and document everything. And when police tried to take the cell phone from her, she ran out. And this is video we're going to be showing soon on WGN Morning News. She ran out. She was chased by Commander Burge. And according to Cook County prosecutors, in the process of trying to apprehend her, she's much larger than this 66-year-old grandmother. Her head is hit against the wall more than once, and she suffered some minor upper body injuries. So that has led to this charge of aggravated battery against the commander.
And this is the son of the Dixmoor police chief?
Exactly. And you might know the name Ronald Burge Sr. He also used to be a police chief in Harvey. But, of course, this case involves his son, who happens to be a commander here.
Well, we will be hearing more about that today, I'm sure. I'm surprised, Nancy, that we don't hear hammering and construction in the background. Where exactly are they building that new studio for the WGN America national newscast that they're starting this summer?
That is actually upstairs at WGN on Bradley Place. And, you know, we in the newsroom, we've been hearing the construction upstairs, and there's been a lot of rolling around. We've heard like wheels rolling around. We thought it was going to be a bowling alley or something.
Oh, you didn't know what it was for?
Not until yesterday. I found out with everyone else that we have, it's very exciting news. It's wonderful for journalism that, you know, 130 journalists are going to be hired for this new national newscast at News Nation. So it's going to be a wonderful venture for WGN America. And, you know, it'll serve, it's from the heartland to the heartland.
Yeah, that's a good thing. No doubt about that.
News with no opinion down the road.
I hope there's no truth to the rumor that zany morning show producer you got over there, Jeff Hoover, is going to be the national news anchor. I hope that's not true.
Yeah. Wink. Could you imagine Wink Winkle on the set? That'd be quite a show.
That would get some ratings. All right. There you go. There's your early morning report from Channel 9. Thanks, Nancy Liu. You have a good day.
Have a great day. Bye.
It's 5:22, and what we do around here is give a prize to the first caller on the radio, and that will be you today, Don in Oak Lawn. How you doing?
Hi, Bob. Good morning. Thanks for being on the radio. Coming back.
Oh, well, thanks for listening. What are you doing? Are you driving already today?
Oh, yes. I'm a retired machinist, and I work for a friend of mine out in his machine shop, just doing odd jobs and keeping my hands busy.
So you're retired, but you're still working?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like, you know, 20 hours a week, sometimes 30, but at my own leisure, come and go as I please. It's wonderful.
Yeah, don't rub it in. Well, Don, you get a prize for being the first person we put on the radio today on the phone. Let's see. I think you'd like a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. You can go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. That way, on your free time, you can check the weather, find out if it's a good day to golf or whatever you do in your spare time. What is your hobby when you're not working now, Don?
My hobby is usually going to my summer house in Indiana and working there.
Stop working, Don.
Until the weather breaks, Bob. I just bought a boat in the fall, and I'm just waiting to get that out of storage.
Nice. All right. Well, you've got a good life going for yourself there, my friend. And thanks for checking in with us this morning. Hold on. We'll get all the information we need to get you that prize, and appreciate you being with us, Don.
No problem, Bob. Does that come autographed?
Can the desktop indoor weather station be autographed? Is there a place to put a signature? I don't know if there is. I'll do that for you.
Thank you very much.
Call us again sometime and remind me. I'll get you something that we're cleaning out the office. So there's a lot of stuff there that I could send you and sign.
Cool.
A picture of Spike Odell. You know, you name it. I'll get that to you. So hang on there, Donnie.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. Well, my favorite clip on the news, and you know what? We can play it here, too. I think Steve's going to be playing it all morning, but I don't know if you heard this or not. I know you heard about the snub with Senator Warren and Bernie Sanders the other night when they didn't shake hands. Well, it turns out now that they recorded what was being said between the two of them. At that time, the exchange lasted only a few minutes after the debate was over. Let's see, Elizabeth Warren approached Bernie Sanders. He put out his hand for her to shake, and instead she confronted him, and the two talked briefly, and it looked very tense. And neither campaign would confirm what was said. However, now there's some audio, and you'll hear the two of them, and then you'll hear them interrupted by a fellow candidate, Tom Steyer. Here it is. Listen to this.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get mailed. I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. You're a liar. No, you're a liar. You're a liar. Kids, please. So you'll be hearing that during the morning today. That's my favorite news clip of the day.
What's the lesson? There is always a microphone around.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and a camera. But yes, you are always being recorded. Keep that in mind. It's 525 right now. Looking at this weather for the next few days, not too bad temperature-wise today. I mean, it's a little colder than yesterday, but nothing really to worry about. But then on Saturday night, you have plans Saturday night? Low 8 degrees Saturday night. And then Sunday's high and Monday's high only in the teens. Sunday night and Monday night, they're talking about overnight lows about 4. So winter is back here on Thursday, January 16th. Coming up on the broadcast today, social media news with Scott Kleinberg. He's going to be talking about some scams that we need to be aware of. That's always fun. Dean Richards is back with us today after 8 o'clock with his entertainment reporting. And we'll check in with the Alderman of the 42nd District before we get out of here at 9 today. Alderman Brendan Riley stopping up to explain, among other things, what that deal is on some corners downtown and in other places. You may have noticed these things. We don't know what they are. It's kind of a mystery, but the alderman will explain. They've marked off some corners. Have you seen that? They have some of those rubber poles, and then they've painted parts of the corners. Have you noticed that around downtown? I don't know what they're trying to do here, but we'll get to the bottom of that today. I was trying to figure out, you know, you can't drive beyond those little bumpers or poles.
And now that you mention it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where I see one every day, and I was thinking about it.
It's not for traffic cams, is it?
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. So apparently the alderman, we talked to the alderman yesterday, and did we send him a picture? I think we did. Well, we described these mystery zones that have popped up around the city, and we asked him to figure out what they are. I don't know if when we called him he knew, but he's researching that, and he'll get back to us later today. So first I thought it was some sort of bike lane or something, but it's not a whole lane. It's just the corner, and it's painted. The surface is painted a different color, and then for a few feet anyway, you've got those dividers or poles or whatever you call them that can bend if you hit them, but you're not supposed to. So get to the bottom of that and clear that up. And also, he'll be telling us what went on at the city council meeting yesterday. You may have heard about this. The alderman proposed a ban on restaurants' use of polystyrene containers and a limit on plastic forks, knives, and straws. And some restaurant people are upset about that because that's just going to add to the expense of running a restaurant. And then Mayor Lightfoot slammed some African-American aldermen for offensive nature of the tone, was her quote in a debate over possible set-asides for gay and transgender-owned businesses. So a lot to talk about in the city. That will be coming up here. And a reminder, if you want to get in touch with us, we've got a few ways to do it now. The phone number and the text number is the same, 312-981-7200. And we have the email machine turned on, so you can get to us at this address, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Not Bob's Show, it's just bobshow@wgnradio.com, a BS in the middle. And I want to congratulate one of my favorite people and a great sports writer, Paul Sullivan, the Tribune's baseball columnist, is the Illinois Sports Writer of the Year. He got the award for 2019 from the National Sports Media Association. It's the third time that Paul Sullivan has won the honor. So, way to go, Paul. Nice work. Do you know him, Dave?
Sure, I know Sully. Didn't he begin his career working for Mike Royko?
I believe you're right.
I think he did, but he's certainly an authority on baseball in this town, has been for years.
Yeah, and he's got a great sense of humor.
Yes.
Witty writer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check in with Orion. We've got the agribusiness update now.
Good morning. It is finally done. After a year and a half of talking about getting it done, the White House ceremony yesterday, filled with a lot of financial people and farmers and company CEOs, signed by the Vice Premier of China and President Donald Trump. So how did the market react? Well, soybean futures fell to a one-month low, despite the fact that the signing took place. Corn followed soybeans lower, but wheat futures climbed again to their highest price in more than a year, helped by rising global cash prices and technical buying. At the end of the trading session, the March contract in wheat was up 5.25 cents a bushel. March corn was down 2 cents a bushel. And March soybeans ended the day down 12.75 cents a bushel. Turning to the livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, lean hog futures at the Mercantile Exchange moved slightly higher yesterday as that trade agreement was signed. However, they're still waiting for specific details on the amounts involved in the signing of that China-U.S. trade deal. So at the end of the day, April lean hogs down 20 cents a hundredweight, February live cattle down 20 cents a hundredweight, and January feeder cattle ended the day down 72 cents a hundredweight. But for the most part, agricultural organizations were pleased with the signing of the agreement and also pleased by the fact that statements were made that they would begin on phase two immediately. Rich Giebert, president of the Illinois Farm Bureau, said today's signing of the China Phase 1 trade deal is a significant historic day for the nation's number one soybean producer, Illinois. Have a great day. That's Ag Biz. I'm Orion Samuelson.
At 5:40 on the Bob Surratt Morning Show and Marijuana Dispensary, this is Cubs Convention weekend, isn't it? And you know what? Every year, it's the coldest weekend of the year. I don't know how that happens, but it always does. And so it's a great weekend to sort of get some baseball fever. Three-day passes are sold out, but I guess you can still get passes on the secondary markets like StubHub. So if you want to go to the convention, and is any news going to be made this weekend? As far as the Cubs are concerned, Dave, what do you think?
Well, I know the one question that's going to be asked. It's going to be asked of Chris Bryant, which is, will you be here? He's going to be at the convention, but he is also going to be, and give him credit for that, because there's so much speculation about whether he is, in fact, going to be traded. And the expectation has been that he will be.
To the Braves? Is that
well,
the rumor?
That was some thought on that question. They lost Josh Donaldson in free agency. But, you know, he's going to fulfill his obligation to be there. And good for him.
Yeah.
But that's probably, I would think, that's going to be a big question. And what other moves are they going to make? Because they've been very quiet.
And the other big question in Major League Baseball now What's going to happen to Carlos Beltran?
Yeah.
Or is anything going to happen to him? What do you think?
I don't know. If you're the New York Mets and his name was the only name of any player with the Houston Astros in that report, if you read the report that the commissioner, Rob Manfred, issued on Monday or Tuesday, to have that one name, it's kind of glaring.
It is.
I mean, the obviously the Houston manager, A.J. Hinch, Luna, their general manager, are mentioned. But to see Beltran's name, if you're the New York Mets, you're competing in a very tough, competitive sports town with two baseball teams, much like Chicago. And here you're bringing in a new manager, a little tainted.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you really want to do that.
Yeah.
And also, will other teams end up being implicated here too? There's been that suggestion.
Yeah,
that these weren't the only teams doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure at the Cubs convention, and all the executives will be there, and fans can question them. I'm sure that topic will come up this weekend.
I would think so. And if you weren't doing it, why weren't you?
No,
I'm just
5:42. It is Thursday, January 16th. Some folks have a day off Monday because of Martin Luther King Day. Is taking a mental health day good for you? Is it? Well, it is, and we'll go through the reasons why. That's coming up at around 6:10 this morning. Steve Grzanich now with our weekly Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation.
We're here with Doug Myers, who's the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here. Happy New Year.
Same to you. I want to begin with sort of your predictions, if you will, about private banking for 2020. Are there any trends that people are going to be focusing in on?
Well, I think there's continued trends of using technology in our business to enhance customer relationships and enhance investment portfolios and to offer, our clients the continued product set that we want to give them in terms of different types of loans and different types of services that we offer. And I think technology will continue to play into that.
Mm-hmm. 2019, how would you rank it as a year for wealth management? Were your clients pretty happy?
Our clients were very happy. I think 2019 was one of our record years. The stock market was at an all-time high. Returns were very strong. The returns have been stronger than they have been in probably 10 years since a recession. Our portfolios have continued to grow, and our clients have been very happy with the growth, and everybody can look at their 401ks and their balances, and it continues to grow, and I think there's a lot of positive indicators right now in the market.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the questions people ask all the time, how long can this continue? 2020, for sure, right? I mean, we don't see any headwinds coming.
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues that could be trade winds, and you never really know. I mean, it looks like the tariff situation is getting settled, and the economic climate is certainly ripe for a good year. But, you know, this year is a election year, and the politics certainly play into that. So, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, but at the same time, the fundamentals are strong. The companies are doing very well. The market rates continue to be fairly low in terms of interest rates, which helps investments and things like that. So I think the indicators are very positive right now.
There is one wealth manager, the world's largest wealth manager, by the way, UBS, Global Wealth Management. Their chief investment officer had this warning to investors, though, to lower their expectations for this year, not only here in the United States, but globally as well.
And I think that's a conservative posture, and I think you don't want people to get too, so to speak, frothy about the market. But, you know, if you look at the indicators that we had for 2019, for example, large cap stocks returned 31%. And that's opposed to minus 4% in 2018. And so I think, once again, the indicators are strong. If you look at the small cap market was 26% return in 2019 versus a minus 2% in 2018. So I think we hopefully can continue the trend for 2020 that we saw in 2019. The fundamentals are still there. The interest rates obviously play a big part of that. We thought we would increase interest rates last year three times. In fact, the interest rates declined three times last year. So that really squeezed margins in banking, which made it a hard year for banks, but a good year for the investment returns.
How much should we be paying attention to the election in the U.S. as impacting investments this year?
Well, I think elections always impact investments. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, somebody's obviously going to win. And if it's a re-election of President Trump, I think we can expect kind of the same things that we've seen for the past two or three years. I think if the Democrats were to win in November, I think that would change things. And you know, it's hard to say for the worse or for the better, but certainly it will be different.
There are some, speaking of headwinds, in Europe, private banking, wealth management companies have been cutting jobs there. Is this something that is a contraction that might spread overseas to the United States? Are there any discussions in your industry here locally about that?
You know, I don't think so, Steve. And the reason is, you know, wealth management continues to be one of the growing sectors within banking. You know, you have corporate banking, you have real estate banking, you have business banking, but wealth management in financial institutions continues to grow. I think the articles you're referring to and some of the layoffs, and you've seen the shrinkage in some of the big banks in their wealth management groups, I think that's just corporate restructuring. I think it's partly due to the interest rate environment in Europe. I think with the negative interest rates, it certainly puts pressure on the banks. And I think banks go through cycles of restructuring. And I think what you read is just normal corporate restructuring in some of those big European banks. And I don't think we've really seen that in the States. I don't think we really anticipate that being a part of wealth management with our big banks and smaller banks and community banks for that matter. I think we're still growing our wealth management business.
There's another cool story that I wanted to get your thoughts on, and it involves snowbirds. We've all heard of these folks. You may be a snowbird, and I don't even know it. The people
I wish. I'm not.
I'm not, but I want to be, right?
Right.
These people who live, like, for instance, in Chicago in the summertime and then go somewhere warm in the wintertime. What kind of challenge do those kinds of clients present to you in terms of wealth management?
Well, there's certainly a lot of things you have to consider if you choose to be a snowbird, and we have a lot of clients who are, especially in Florida. That's a popular place for the Chicagoans to summer or to winter, excuse me. You have to look at the different states' tax situations. You know, Chicago has high real estate taxes. We have a state income tax, where, for example, Florida does not have a state income tax. And so there's a lot of tax ramifications in looking at, do you want to spend the winters in Florida, for example, or do you want to move your residency or your domicile to Florida? And that certainly has tax implications. It has estate and financial planning implications for how you structure your estates. The estate tax situation is different, for example, in Florida than in Illinois. So I think in looking at that, there's a lot of things to decide in terms just from a financial planning standpoint, but as well as a lifestyle standpoint.
Doug, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can call me directly at 312-544-4600, and we'll look forward to having some financial planning discussions.
All right, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. It's our thought leader conversation. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, January the 16th, some of the things that could move the markets today, a packed lineup of economic reports out. Retail sales for December leads things off. We'll see how well some of the retailers did for Christmas. Also today, a weekly look at first-time claims for unemployment benefits. December's import and export prices are due. The National Association of Home Builders has the market index for January as well. Also today on the list, business inventories, a couple of Fed speakers out, the EIA natural gas report is due. do. And we'll get the Fed balance sheet a little bit later on today. And on the earnings calendar, Charles Schwab and Morgan Stanley report quarterly earnings. Just a few things that could move the markets on Thursday, January the 16th.
Appreciate that, Steve. 5:55 in London. The bookmakers now posting the betting odds on a Harry and Meghan divorce. You knew this would happen, right? 3-1 odds, if you're betting. 3-1 now. And, you know, who knows where those numbers will be going. Some good numbers for the Blackhawks last night. Ever since the Surratt family made an appearance Saturday night, things have turned around, haven't they, Dave?
They are 3-0 since the arrival of the Surratts.
How about that? And Corey Crawford, unbeatable in Montreal.
Unbeatable in Montreal. He says he doesn't know. It treats it like any other game. So, of course, hey, it's his hometown. He is 10-2-2 in his career now against the Canadiens, and he did it again last night. Of course, he had some help.
4-1.
Yeah. So the Blackhawks are hot. The Hawks are only 4 points out of a playoff spot now.
And let's see, Patrick Kane, we're on the 1,000-point watch, so he's at 998 now.
998. Right? He had an assist last night on Alex DeBrincat's power play goal.
All right, more coming up in our 6 o'clock news, and also coming up, the top 6 stories at 6, including the all-clear on romaine lettuce. That'll be at 6:18 this morning. And people are upset with me because of the little rant we started the broadcast with today about the law involving funeral processions having the right of way and they can go through the red lights, and number of texts on this. 847, I disagree with Bob about stopping for a funeral. It helps us to remember that we too will pass from this world. It gives us a few minutes of reflection. Well, I reflect on that all the time. I don't need that to help me reflect. Let's see. Also, from 815, stopping for a funeral shows a little respect for the family. And let's see, there is one other angry texter at 815. Come on, you're so busy you can't wait and show a little bit of respect? No, I have time. I'm just commenting on the safety aspect of the funeral going through the red light. That's all. Sorry. Remember, I can't stand criticism, especially if it's justified. Coming up after the news, why taking a mental health day is a really good thing for you. And we'll check on the list of burnout signs and see if you've got some of these or how many of them you have. Nine minutes after 6 o'clock, the idea of taking a mental health day is gaining traction. There's a new report out today about this. Burnout and declining mental health is all around us. According to the National Alliance on Mental Health, almost 44 million adults in the U.S. experience mental health issues in a given year. And the number one most common mental illness in the U.S., anxiety disorder. Work, deadlines, traffic, being the perfect spouse or parent, constantly being connected and available, all these things contribute to feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and burnt out. So the good news is the idea of preventing burnout through a mental health day has become part of the conversation. People are starting to take note, according to clinical health psychologists. And there's a list here of signs of burnout. So I think we should listen up here in the newsroom and at traffic and sports centers. Ready, guys? Signs of burnout? Show of hands. Anybody with any of these signs? First, irritability and quick temper.
Not me!
No. Who, me?
A lot of hands went up on that one. Withdrawing from things that used to be fun and meaningful.
Nope.
No. Still have fun.
Yeah. Joe the engineer raised his hands.
No, we did. We come to work every morning. This is the fun part.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, the sad part is I feel good every day between 5 and 9, but that's it.
PM?
No, I wish. Constantly feeling anxious. Not so much. Feeling detached from both work and others. No, I'm feeling too attached, actually.
Really? Yeah. You want me to back up a little bit?
Cynicism? Yeah, that runs rampant in most broadcasts.
Yeah, always
outlets.
Have that.
Lack of motivation or focus?
Depends on how much sleep I've had the day before.
Well, it depends on the bills that pile up, too. I think you get motivated to work because you know there is a paycheck involved.
Yeah, especially after Christmas.
Feeling exhausted? Yeah, well,
24/7.
Yeah, I kind of feel exhausted all the time.
You don't sleep. Yeah, and you work on these morning shows. That's what happens. Lack of self care. In other words, a lack of exercise and nutrition.
No showers.
Well, you're not eating right. You're not working out. That adds to anxiety. And finally, feeling physically sick. Yeah, the first week I was here, everybody was sick. Everybody had the flu. I tried not to take it personally. Anyway, that's the burnout. Those are the burnout signs. Take a mental health day. A lot of people have the day off on Monday because of Martin Luther King Day. And let's see, looking ahead, it's going to be really cold starting on Saturday night.
Good morning.
Now the top six at six with Bob Saras on WGN Radio.
Yes, it is. We do this around 6:17 every day. Here we go. First, Elizabeth Warren accusing Bernie Sanders of calling her a liar before a national television audience during a tense post-debate exchange in which she refused to shake his hand. Warren said during a private meeting between the two in 2018 he disagreed with her that a woman could win the presidency. Sanders has denied that, did so again during Tuesday night's presidential debate. Now they've released audio. And before we play this, let me set it up so you know exactly what you're going to hear. This is what was said between the two when they did not shake hands. And then at the end, the exchange is interrupted by Tom Steyer. Listen up.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me a liar. You told me? All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you called me a liar. No, I didn't. You did. No, you did. You want to take it outside? Man. Yeah, there you have the liar clash after the debate.
That's it for the CBS 2 News at 10.
No, we have more here. This is the second of the top six at six, in no particular order. Chicago police officers posted at schools are no longer allowed to intervene in student discipline, but will, at least for the time being, remain in more than 110 schools. Those are among the changes laid out in a $33 million agreement between Chicago Public Schools and the Chicago Police Department, the details of which have been newly released. It sets the ground rules for a much maligned program that puts officers in school buildings. CPD police officers, called school resource officers, have been in schools for years, but concern over a school-to-prison pipeline that sees students arrested for in-school behavior has ratcheted up the intense public scrutiny on the program in recent years.
Thanks for joining us here at 9 o'clock.
Okay, now for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and their latest update on food safety. They report it is no longer advising that people avoid romaine lettuce from the Salinas Valley growing region in California. After nearly 3 months, the romaine lettuce outbreak appears to be over, according to federal health officials. These kinds of stories always remind me of the fact that you have warnings for all sorts of salad ingredients all the time, broccoli. You never hear about pizza or Italian beef or hot dogs. There's never anything wrong with them. So
stick right. to that?
Yeah, and bacon. Yeah,
yeah, right. Only good produce,
yeah,
always.
Yeah, right. Be safe and eat those staples of the Chicago food pyramid, and you'll be okay.
Thanks for joining us. Jimmy Kimmel up next.
After years of falling bus ridership, the head of the CTA said yesterday the agency is planning a first-of-its-kind major study to look at ways to improve the system. CTA President Dorval Carter announced the plan at the agency's monthly board meeting, at which the board approved two pilot programs to expand bus service on the number 157 Streeterville-Taylor route and realign service on the 52 Kedzie, California and 94 California routes to reduce crowding on the Blue Line. Is this working, our new sound between stories? Nobody liked the crumbled paper, so we're experimenting with this. And judging by the emails and texts, so far nobody likes this. But I think it's kind of funny. You get it after each story, there's a Chicago anchor closing the newscast.
Right.
And then we come back with more.
Mm-hmm.
Is it working? I don't know.
Well, maybe now that you explained it, maybe people will get it now.
Okay. And they say if you have to explain it, it doesn't work. But I'm thinking maybe if we do it enough times, people will get used.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they'll get used to this.
Have a great night. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
See, then I come right back with another story. Budget airline Allegiant Air is landing in Chicago with flights to six cities, Allentown, Pennsylvania, Des Moines, Iowa, Savannah, Georgia, Asheville, North Carolina, and Knoxville, Tennessee. That starts in May. Good price here. One-way flights start at $33 on the new Chicago routes, though that does not include added fees for perks like snacks and drinks or carry-on or checked luggage beyond a small personal item. You know, that's how they get you, isn't it? I mean, you got to be careful when you see those fares at some of those airlines.
The snacks and drinks it could do without. Right,
yeah,
I mean, you can get, you're flying a couple hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can stop at the airport and pick up a $24 peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's right.
Bring it on board. Why not?
$6 bottle of water.
Yeah.
Thank you for making us your choice for news.
Okay, Chicago Restaurant Week coming up. The 13th annual Chicago Restaurant Week. We'll have more than 400 participating restaurants. This starts January 24th. It goes until February 9th. So it's actually 17 days. Restaurant Week is actually Restaurant Weeks. Restaurants in the city and the suburbs will offer 2- and 3-course lunches for $24, weekend brunches also for $24, and 3- and 4-course dinners for either $36 or $48. This is a good deal. Anybody here ever participated in the Restaurant Week? Yeah, Vivian, the producer, has.
Yeah, I have. It's a
Steve?
Pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good opportunity to try new restaurants as well if you've never been to one.
And they do it because it's usually the toughest time of year for restaurants. And looking ahead at the forecast, yeah, we're going to get cold. I don't know if by January 24th what the weather will be, but we're talking about temperatures in the teens this weekend, so you may want to check that out. And if you go to their website for Chicago Restaurant Week, they list all of the participating restaurants. So there you go. It's 6:24.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sarat on WGN Radio.
Good day.
I think the close is working and the open. The production is working. We got to work on the middle still, I think. I don't know. I like it, but, you know, again, every time I look at the emails at, what's our email? BobShow@WGNRadio.com and the texts at 312-981-7200, I see things like this. 312, sound effects are not working. Not engaging, not entertaining, not educational. 815, so not funny. So that keep those cards and letters.
They're not trying to spare you your feelings.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I miss the paper crumbling.
You do?
Yeah, I kind of miss the paper crumbling.
I miss the duck. We used to have a duck quacking.
Yeah. Well, I told you we can't play the duck anymore because Fred Winston has somehow copyrighted that. We have to pay him if we use that.
Fred, I did like the duck.
Yeah. So we're still. It's a work in progress. So maybe we'll hear from people who actually like it. But so far we haven't. But you know, there is that tendency. If you like something, you don't call or write or email. It's only if you don't like something. So keep that in mind, okay? Yeah. Keep telling that to yourself. It's 6:25, and talking about this cold weather, baseball will make you warm up. And as we mentioned, this is the weekend for the Cubs convention right down here at the Sheraton Grand Chicago. And the passes are sold out. The three-day passes are sold out, but you can still get them on StubHub and the secondary market. And as Dave mentioned, Chris Bryant is showing up. Everybody will be asking him about potentially being traded, and I'm sure everybody will be asking Cubs management about the plans for the year, and also I'm sure the cheating scandal will be a big topic, won't it?
I'm sure it will be. Not just this weekend, but next weekend, Sox Fest. So I don't think it's going to go away before then either.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the Cubs are concerned, I think there will be a lot of groaning, moaning about the lack of activity this winter. But now that the Chris Bryant matter is settled, I guess, do we expect some action from them?
I mean, it's not. They're still waiting on this grievance. They've signed him to for the season.
So it's not settled.
It's not settled. So they have him under contract for the 2020 season. But no, I think that's still kind of on hold. And I think this will be the first convention for the new manager, David Ross. So interesting to hear what he has planned for the upcoming season. You know, they're looking for a bounce back. They were okay till the last couple of weeks of the 2019 season.
Don't bring that
right?
up again.
So
that was the worst.
I mean, they had their bumps along the way, but
nothing still, like what happened at the end.
Not the end. No,
that was unbelievable. And talking about unbelievable, boy, the Bulls. I mean, they can't catch a break, right? They right off the top last night. Another injury.
Yeah, Daniel Gafford, the rookie, who's, you know, they've already got a injury to Wendell Carter Jr., one of the other big men, and now Gafford's going to be out about a month, and it was really kind of an ugly thing. I don't know if you saw any of
it. No, I heard about it. It was his thumb, right?
Thumb, but it got cut and dislocated, and it was kind of hanging there, and yeah, it's not a good thing.
I heard him talking about it after the game. He was kind of laughing about it, and I was thinking, if that happened to me, I'd be in traction. I mean, really?
Conscious, Bob,
no.
Would be the question.
People don't realize, unless you've been close to the court during a game, I mean, these guys are big guys. I mean, it's amazing that how fast they are because, wow, they're powerful, aren't they?
They are. And there's a lot of muscles to get ripped.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And dislocated. Ooh, dislocated. Just the sound of.
I think they popped it back in.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did.
As someone who's had 16-inch softball fingers from time to time, I am familiar kind of with that sort of injury.
Have you had that done to you where you have it popped back in?
I've done it myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've talked to orthopedic surgeons who say, Thank you. Thank everybody on your team, because all you guys who play 16-inch Chicago softball keep us in business. Yeah. I'm really tired of that happening to me. I mean, at first, it's like, yeah, it's part of the game. It happens, you know, no big deal. But then, when you get a little older, you know, you get to be 39, and that happens, and it's like, all right. I don't want it. I don't want to do this anymore.
You could play the kind where you wear gloves.
I like 12-inch. I do like that, but I grew up playing 16, and I can't find any good 12-inch games anymore. I mean, that would have the likes of me playing it. As I've mentioned, I'm a good player for a broadcaster.
Yes.
I emphasize that last part. Coming up after the news break, the single most important thing parents can do for kids. It's actually just showing up, being present and listening. We'll go over that right after this. My wife sent me this story, and she didn't make any comment. She just sent it to me, but I think there is a message here. The headline of the story is, "This is the single most important thing parents can do for their kids." And it quotes Tina Bryson, who is a best-selling New York Times author. She's a psychotherapist, founder and executive director of the Center for Connection and the Play Strong Institute in California. She's best known for having co-authored a series of books, including The Whole Brain Child, The Yes Brain, No Drama Discipline, And her new book is called The Power of Showing Up. And what this means, she says, is a parent being present is the opposite of being distracted or checked out. It's definitely more than being physically present. We can be physically present, but completely checked out. We are really tuning into our child's internal experience or to their mind. And this is the complaint in the Surratt household I've been hearing lately. This is what I hear like three times a day. You're just not present. I no longer hear, you forgot to empty the dishwasher, or you didn't pick up the chicken I asked you to pick up at the store. I don't hear that. I hear, you know, you're not present. When we really show up in the moment, says the expert here, and we really tune into our child's experience, they actually feel a lot safer in the world. So I'm going to try to practice this today. Anybody else hear this complaint in their home? You're not present.
Yeah, always on the phone.
Looking at the phone, right? Yeah.
Best place to talk to your kid is in the car, I think. That's where I've had my best conversations with my kids.
Now, I can't talk to my 19-year-old when she's with me because she's constantly looking at her phone.
Yeah, well, that's true now. But, I mean, years ago I could do that. But, yeah, you're right. They are looking at their phone. But sometimes that is a good spot, though.
Showing up means being emotionally present with your kid. Okay, I'll try it and report back. But all I know is it's very difficult also for us to not be distracted by the phone. I mean, it's not just the kids who are addicted to that. I think in many ways the worst thing that ever happened to us, these smartphones. I mean, really, I know I'm kind of addicted to it myself, but I'm gonna try to practice showing up today, and hopefully those complaints will diminish, maybe. Extremely local news is coming up. We'll get to that at about 6:48 or so this morning. And we'll talk about a very, very popular Logan Square restaurant expanding. Also, home prices up along the end of the 606 trail. There's a old family business in Andersonville that's closing up that we'll report on. And then we got a feel-good about a lost dog reunited with the owner. So that's all coming up. And after 7 o'clock today, Scott Kleinberg, our social media expert, he checks in this morning. And he's going to be talking about a couple of interesting things, including some scams that you need to be aware of, and email phishing. We hear about that. What does it actually mean? Is it really that big of a problem? Apparently it is, and it's going to get bigger. So that's all coming up right here. Good to have you with us on good old WGN.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for
extremely local news. Yes. Good morning, Jen. How you doing today?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
All right. It's Block Club Chicago time, and with us is Jen Sabella to talk about some neighborhood items, including the 606. And before you tell us about the home prices, for people who don't know and aren't familiar with the 606 trail, where is it and what is it?
So in 2015, this trail was built. It runs between like Bucktown area and all the way to West Humboldt Park. It's an east-west trail along former railroad tracks. It's just north of North Avenue and south of Armitage. And since it was built, it's just become a hit. Everyone bikes it. Since we don't have like a north side crosstown CTA line, it's really become, you know, the commute for a lot of people. People take their divvy bikes on there. And each year, there's been more development along the trail. It's just like a hot place to live. There's a lot of little park space, and it's just like you're having access to park. And you know, people want that because we don't have very much nice weather here. So when you do, you want to be outside. So ever since we started covering this trail at DNA Info in 2015, even before then when they started building it, and there were developers out in West Humboldt Park where home prices were really low. I would say, like, in 2012, they were around $90,000 median home sales price in West Humboldt Park. Those are up 344%.
Wow.
According to a new study by DePaul University that came out yesterday, which on the same day, the city council approved a six-month halt in demolitions along the west end of the trail, which is where that giant spike is happening.
Yeah, some people are unhappy with the gentrification, aren't they?
Well, I think a lot of people are really thrilled that there's this great new trail in their neighborhood, but people can't afford to be there anymore. So, I know a lot of friends of mine who lived in Humboldt Park in Logan Square, 10 years ago, their landlords either sold their buildings, turned it into condos. If they already owned, their property taxes went way up. We did a story a few months ago about property taxes also up in the hundreds of percent in those neighborhoods. So the demolition halt is, it's a brief stoppage, and there's some speculation of whether or not it's even legal. But aldermen in the area hope to analyze ways they can keep people in their homes who have lived there for a long time and have some protections for longtime residents.
Now, are you just talking about the west end of the 606 when you talk about the prices up 344% in the last few years, according to this new study? My take on this was there were improvements all along that trail from east to west.
Right. The thing is on the east side, the prices were already really high.
Oh,
so Wicker Park and Bucktown, it was already in the $500,000 for a home in that area, and now it's about $960,000 median in some parts of along the trail.
Let's go over to Logan Square and talk about a really popular restaurant there that's expanding.
Yes, Jibritos y Mas. They are on 3406 West Fullerton. There's an original restaurant right in the corner there next door, and there are always lines out the door for this place. It is a hit. If you haven't had a jibarito, it is two fried plantains used instead of bread as a sandwich, and then there's a garlicky mayonnaise on there, and they have a meat of your choice and lettuce and tomato. And it's just, they have all different Puerto Rican food there, and it's so popular.
They're on everybody's best lists lately.
Yes, they're slammed. So they decided to open to take over a spot next door, and they have a little sit down area now. So if you're waiting for your jibarito, you could sit. It gives people a chance to hang out and wait and maybe bring more people along for the sandwich.
Okay, give us the address again of that place.
3400 West Fullerton, and next door, the restaurant, the sit-down portion is 3406 West Fullerton.
They're expanding, and up in Andersonville, though, an old business is closing. What happened here?
Yeah, so Cass Hardware has been in Andersonville for 41 years. A young immigrant from Yugoslavia bought the business, which had been around, I think, since the late 50s from somebody else. His name is Cornell Layden, and he is 75 years old, and he's just ready to retire. So he's still, he actually started a little side hustle in the shop fixing lamps, vintage lamps for people in the neighborhood. And if you're up in Andersonville, there are all these different new, hip restaurants and stores and a lot of big chain brands. And then you see the Andersonville Hardware sign, which is untouched. It is just a relic. And a lot of people really love it. It's just, they go there instead of going to, Home Depot, just as a really kind of old school neighborhood hardware store. But he just said it's too much for him in the changing landscape of the neighborhood to keep it going. So he's closing in February. So if you want to go and check it out before then, he's up on Clark Street at 5305 North Clark Street.
Open another month or so.
Another month. And he said that he'll be, tinkering in there with some lamps after the fact. So if you want to, connect with him and you have a lamp that needs fixing on the far north side, he's your man.
Does anybody know what's going to happen to that store? Is somebody else going to take over?
I'm sure it's going to be a hot property. A lot of, he actually was talking to a reporter about, these little dive places that were his neighbors are now, Potbelly or, just big national chain stores. So it's gotten a lot pricier to open a business in Andersonville.
And we want to leave you with a feel good here. This is your lost dog reunited story of the day, isn't it?
Yes. So Simba, we actually saw this story in a neighborhood Facebook group. A woman whose husband works for the CTA saw a puppy on the third rail, and he was told them to cut the power, and he went down and he rescued the dog, who had been electrocuted 3 times. So it wasn't looking good for the pup. He was not in great shape, but Animal Care and Control came. They fixed him up, and thanks to the family of the owner of the dog, the Jimenez family, they were able to be reunited, and he's actually okay. Simba's doing fine, and the owners are really grateful to that CTA worker who sprung into action and rescued the dog.
And for those who missed our explanation, Block Club Chicago, talk about what that is and how you guys came to be and how you cover Chicago City News.
We are a hyper-local news site in Chicago. When DNA Info Chicago shut down, the editors and reporters took over, and our reporters are embedded in the neighborhoods they cover. So they don't work downtown in our newsroom. They work in the neighborhoods, the cafes, and they have office hours, so you can come in and give them your tips if you have a story idea. We're at blockclubchicago.org if you want to check us out. Yeah, it's really fun. We do everything from really like hyperlocal covering meetings that you don't want to go to, but you need to know about, to these like, you know, feel good stories of a rescued dog.
We need you. Any plans to expand?
You know, yes, we are going to be covering Lakeview and Lincoln Park in 2020, which we're really excited about. We'll be announcing a partnership soon out on the west side. We're already covering Austin, North Lawndale, and Garfield Park, but we're going to be partnering with some other news organizations out there to expand that coverage. And yeah, we want to cover the whole city and, you know, and beyond, as long as our readers support us.
And now, other than listening to you guys here with us in the morning, how do people get the Block Club Chicago news? Because I know I get it on my phone.
Yes. So we have a pretty robust newsletter. If you go to blockclubchicago.org, you can sign up, and we have a free morning newsletter, lots of stories from all over the city. And if you're a subscriber, you can get a local newsletter that is curated from your neighborhood. In the neighborhoods, we have full-time reporters, and that's all on our website.
And the evolution of Block Club Chicago came out of an organization called DNA Info, which was doing the same thing?
Yes. So DNA Info was a lot bigger. We had, you know, a lot more funding and a billionaire backer. So when it shut down in 2017, we heard from so many people around the city who were devastated, and they were like, you know, we'll pay you for this. Like, if you don't have that funding anymore, we'll cough up a few bucks. It's like $6 a month for a subscription to support it. And we've had more than 10,000 people subscribe. We're really excited and really grateful to Chicago for valuing its hyperlocal news.
Jen, we appreciate the updates here. Jen Sabella, Block Club Chicago.
Thanks
for having me, Bob. Folks again tomorrow. It's coming up on 4 minutes before 7 o'clock. After our news update, we'll talk to Scott Kleinberg, a social media and engagement manager, and he's got some interesting reporting on email phishing. It's apparently a big problem, and it's getting bigger. He'll explain what that is and what kinds of signs you can watch out for when it comes to phishing. He's got some scams to watch out for. So that's all on the way, and first up will be the news next. From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Good morning to you, and thanks for joining us at 10 after 7. I'm the new guy, Bob Surratt, and with us to talk about social media is Scott Kleinberg, social media and engagement manager at Investment News. How you doing, Scott?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Good, and anxious to find out about email phishing and also passwords and some information that I find hard to believe about how often you should change the passwords. First, let's get to phishing. First, explain what that term refers to.
So
Sure, sure. I actually like the way the Federal Trade Commission describes it. They do it really well. Scammers, they are scammers who use email or text messages to trick you into giving up your personal information. And personal information can be anything from passwords, bank account numbers, social security numbers. Once they have that information, they can gain access to a lot more things, and that's where you have identity theft.
How big a problem is it, and what do we watch out for? How do we know this is happening to us?
Quite honestly, it is a huge problem. There's probably thousands of attacks like this every single day, and a lot of them are actually successful. The thing that's kind of good, if you want to call it that, is that there are a lot of telltale signs of a phishing email, so you kind of know what to look for once you get used to it. Things like there's been a suspicious login attempt on your account, or there's a problem with your account info, your credit card info, or there's a fake invoice, or weird words like "hi, dear," instead of your name, that kind of stuff, repeatedly misspelled words. So there are a lot of things to look out for, but at the same time, the problem is as people become more aware of what these things to look out for are, they get smarter and smarter. So sometimes you really have to look with a microscope to figure out that it's not a real email.
And you see this on Facebook too, because they know what you're interested in, don't they?
They know what you're interested in, but they also do it a different way. On Facebook, the goal is to get you to share it on other people's timelines, because when a company posts something like that that's not on the up and up and they post it, it is possible for them to actually get access to your Facebook account, not your password, but the ability to actually write on your wall. So you could actually see something that's not from a friend, it's actually from them. All those things you see all the time, like here's a free flight to Florida, or here's a free $100 gift card to a supermarket, those are never real. There is no reason for an airline to give away a free trip to Florida. That's like a red flag right there.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true. I see a lot of like fake invoices and problems with one account or another that I have.
Yep.
And those are common, aren't they?
Those are very common. And I'll tell you something about invoices that throws a lot of people off. You have to ask yourself a question. Why am I getting an invoice? That's the first thing. A lot of people look at it and they go, oh, I got an invoice. And it's like, wait a minute, I don't have any reason to get one. So you almost have to use a lot of common sense when you're looking at it. Does this actually apply to me? And then you have to take action from there. I mean, those right away, I almost know 100% of the time are not real.
Scott Kleinberg on social media. We'll take a quick break here and then talk about passwords. And there's now new advice from the experts on how often you should change them. We'll get to that and what businesses should be aware of, too, regarding all of this.
For news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
I thought we were going to avoid going into post-production on the show before we broadcast it today, but we will have to make a couple edits. Sorry.
Yeah,
it's 7:18. Scott Kleinberg is with us, social media and engagement manager at Investment News. Before we get to passwords, Scott, we've all seen these emails asking us to update billing and password information. How do you know if they're legit? What should you do here?
When it comes to billing info, you have to think of it this way. Reputable companies are very, very unlikely to non-existently going to send you something that says update your account information or update your billing information. It's not going to come that way. And a lot of times people just automatically, they include the logo, they include things that look very, very real. One of the things that you can do, and this is really important, is if you get an email and you click on a link, if you look at the URL of where that email comes from, a lot of times there's a lot of gibberish in there. It's not a real company website. So you can tell that right away. But what I say, and I know this seems very old school, but it's the best thing you can do. If you get something in your email that says update your billing and you cannot find anything about it that's wrong and you really don't know what to do, call the company. Call the credit card company and say, I got something from you asking me to update my account information. Is this real? They'll tell you. And that way, I mean, they're going to, if they need that information, they'll get it from you on the phone and you don't have to do it anyway. So it kind of saves the day if you think of it like that.
Some of those emails look very legit, don't they? I mean, they copy corporate logos. It's tough to determine whether it's fake or not.
It's really, really hard, and it's getting harder. Some of them have multiple mistakes in them, you know, right away. Some of them have misspellings and weird things. Some of them, you really have to look with a microscope. I found one not that long ago that the only reason I could figure out that it was fake is because there were two spaces after every period. And I know that seems like something that some people do. It just didn't look right, and knowing that, I was able to put two and two together and figure out that it wasn't real.
Yeah, only you would notice that. I mean, I'm hearing you say that, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, there aren't two spaces after periods anymore? But I guess there aren't. Good for you. Now, let's talk about passwords.
Yeah,
and sure. We all have too many of them. You can't remember them. Yep. And now the experts are no longer saying you should change your password often, like every 90 days. Yep. Why the change here?
It's literally become a 180. It used to be, like you said, every 90 days. Now, the thought process is if you come up with a really, really secure password, that password's going to be stronger than you changing one every 90 days. Because think about it. When you change your password, a lot of times you try to do something that you remember. That's the worst thing you can do, because the stuff that you remember is stuff that's available online. Your first address, your first car, your pet's name. Those things are all out there. Somebody could figure those things out, put two and two together, and actually figure out what your password is. But if you come up with something, let's say something crazy, like 20 characters, something that you have to write down somewhere, something that you have to keep absolutely safe, that password in the long run is actually going to be safer.
Scott, how do you keep track of all your passwords? What do you use to do that?
I use a password manager, and a password manager is an app that gives you one giant password, and then underneath, all of the passwords live under that, but you never have to enter those passwords. All you have to do is enter the main password in the password manager. And there's lots of those depending on which phone, which computer you have. You just look up in your app store, and there's lots of good examples of those. But a lot of people, I actually know someone that keeps their passwords locked away in a safe deposit box. I mean, it's about as important of a thing in the digital age as any other document would be.
Yeah, I don't want to be going into a safe deposit box all the time to remember my password. But I'll admit to something here, and yeah. I probably shouldn't do this on the air, but maybe when we're in post-production later, we'll edit this out before we broadcast the show. But I actually write down my passwords on little pieces of paper, and then let's see if anybody's old enough to catch this reference. And then I file the passwords in a folder at home at my desk, and I put a name on the file, on the folder. I don't want to write down, you know, secret passwords or anything. So on the folder, how I identify it is I write on there the name Alan Ludden. Anybody get that?
I do.
Dave does.
That's
sorry.
Hilarious.
Mary, you get it too.
Oh,
okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The host of a show called Password, right?
The password
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
There you go. Talk about old school, Scott, huh?
I can't say, Bob, that that's one of my recommended ways of doing it, but I appreciate the fact that it works for you, believe me. I do.
Thanks. Always good talking to Scott Kleinberg, social media and engagement manager at Investment News. Thanks a lot, Scott. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again.
Too,
and it's 7:23. This is a funny story out of Los Angeles. Just saw this. The LA City Council is voting on asking Major League Baseball to award the Dodgers championship trophies. Dave, is this going to go anywhere, do you think?
No. No, but it's
a good thought.
Yeah, it is. And they're saying that, look, the Dodgers lost to the Astros in 2017 or the Red Sox in 2018 of the World Series, even though so far the Red Sox have not been punished by Major League Baseball. Only the Astros have. But Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, was fired because he was involved with Houston, and they've been looking into the 2018 Red Sox. So the Dodgers are maintaining that they were jobbed out of those World Series wins, and they want their trophies.
Yeah, the councilman in Los Angeles who is sponsoring this resolution, his district includes Dodger Stadium. So he said that neither the Dodgers nor his constituents had actually requested the resolution. He said this is an equity and justice thing. Who is the best team in 2017? Who is the best team in 2018? It was the Dodgers. They got beat by teams that were cheating. So there you have the news from Los Angeles.
There were a lot of people who never felt that Barry Bonds was baseball's home run champ, that Henry Aaron should still wear the crown.
Yep. And now we're waiting for what, if anything, will happen to Carlos Beltran, right? Yeah.
And there's apparently a ceremony today at the Mets spring training to honor Mike Piazza.
Mm.
And great player for the Mets. And apparently it's a little bit awkward because the owners are going to be there, and all the talk is going to be about Carlos Beltran, not about Mike Piazza.
Well, let's see what happens there.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the reason why I'm wearing a suit and tie, it's not to show up any of the folks I work with here. It's actually because they made that announcement, you know, yesterday about Nexstar launching a national newscast on the cable network WGN America. It's going to come out of Chicago. It's going to be on 7 nights a week for 3 hours, News Nation. So I'm starting my auditioning for the role of main anchorman, and I thought I'd start by showing up here every morning in a suit and tie. You guys, what do you think?
Every morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be this.
Starting today?
The program's going to be on 7 nights a week, you know.
So you're going to work here in the mornings and then there at night?
You think you're tired now, Bob?
I'm going to talk to my agent about that. Although, I have doubts about my agent because a while back, I told him, look, the one thing I don't want is a 9-to-5 job. And then he gets me a 5-to-9 job. So, you know, he gets confused very easily.
And as long as you're the only one that has to wear the suit and tie, I'm fine with it.
Okay. Yeah. That broadcast starts this summer. And it's going to be interesting to watch that, because the idea is to have an alternative to CNN and the Fox News Channel and play it down the middle. So it'll be an interesting experiment, and I think there's definitely a void there, and hopefully it can be filled by this company. 7:27 right now. Let me just knot up the tie a little bit more.
I was going to say, and this company, and apparently by you.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, I'll have makeup on, too, every morning during the show. You know, I just, you know, you can't have too many jobs these days. Let's face it. We'll be talking a little bit more about mortgages with David Hochberg coming up shortly. He is in the PPG Paints green room, and he'll be on with us after the 7:30 news today. And he'll be talking a little bit about how you're never too old to apply for a mortgage. And also, there's a stampede of borrowing now with the falling mortgage rates. So we'll get to that. And, of course, in the entertainment world, if it's going on, it's going on the Dean Richards Report. He joins us after the 8 o'clock news. And coming up before 9 this morning, Alderman Brendan Riley from the 42nd District will be here to talk about what went on at the City Council this past week. And also, we're trying to figure out what those markings are now that have popped up in the city on corners. You may have seen these. Certain corners have painted the little area near the intersection, and then there are these poles that are up there. I guess they're rubber poles, so if you do hit them with your car, they'll bend. But still, I don't know, and nobody I've talked to could explain why they were put there, what they are. They're kind of the paint and the posts from bike lanes, but this isn't a bike lane. It's just a little piece of a corner. Have you guys seen those?
I have seen them. I wonder if it's to get people to stand on the sidewalk and not be sort of standing in the street
and be protected. And, you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't offer much protection, but it might be a barrier to keep people from stepping into the street while there's traffic coming on. I mean, it might, they don't want, you know how people wait actually next to the curb and then they step off the curb?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know.
You know, nobody around here could figure it out. We called around, nobody knew. And then finally we talked to Alderman Brendan Riley, And he seems to either know or he's gonna find out. So that'll be interesting, and that's coming up between 8:30 and 9 today. Right now, Steve's coming up. Let's say good morning to Homeside Financial's David Hochberg. How you doing there, Dave?
Good, Bob. How you doing, buddy? It's been a while since we've shared a microphone together.
Yes, and here we are again.
Yes.
I'm the new guy. And you've got some interesting news from the financial world. Let's talk first about the mortgage rates. They're down, so demand is up.
Yes, rates are back into the threes if you have all of the necessary qualifying items like low loan-to-value, high credit scores, great credit, proper type of property. Condos, if you're over 75%, there's typically a quarter to a half a point hit. So all the parameters right now, if you fall into all the parameters, you get a rate in the threes for a 30-year fixed loan again, which is ridiculously great.
And what's the forecast for the year? Do you have any predictions about where they're going?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the rates are impacted by the China news, because when China tariffs came in, the interest rates dropped. So we'll see what the China news, the news about the China agreement that was signed yesterday in the White House, how that impacts rates coming out this morning. But right now, as of close of business yesterday, rates were still in the threes on a 30-year fixed loan if you meet all the right requirements.
You can hear David Hochberg Saturday mornings here from 10 to noon. The show is called Home Sweet Home Chicago. I know people call you and text you, and you have some messages here we want to get to today. Questions. Here's one. We own our home, but I have a lot of credit card debt. Is it advisable to borrow against our home to pay them off?
Yeah, we always recommend to our listeners that call us that if you have equity in your home, and that's the cheapest source of money that you could access to pay off debt, then definitely do it. We don't say go access money out of your home to go to the boats and play craps or blackjack or roulette. But it's the cheapest money possible, and typically for a lot of your listeners, the cheapest money is borrowing it either through a full-blown refinance or taking out a home equity line of credit, which is just basically a checkbook against your house. And we refer all of our listeners to Republic Bank for those type of loans.
And when you're talking about credit card debt, is there anybody anywhere who doesn't realize that that's the first thing you should pay off when you get into some financial trouble if you get some money? Because there's no way you can make 20-25% on most investments.
Well, you'll be shocked.
And you're paying that.
You'll be shocked to know that your listeners right now are carrying between $20,000 to $40,000 worth of credit card debt. And when you get that much credit card debt, you literally become paralyzed, and they don't know what to do. All of the knowledge and smarts kind of goes out the windows. What your listeners should do, and our listeners on Saturday should do, is find the highest interest rate credit card and start chunking it down as best you can. Another trick is when you get paid, start paying that credit card down. Every time you get paid, just start chipping away at that iceberg, because the interest starts going down and your credit scores will go up instead of waiting for the bill to arrive. And then if you just focus on one credit card at a time, you have one or two senses of accomplishment. You start saving money, then taking the money that you were making on the minimum payments of those credit cards, apply it to the third credit card, and you just keep building upon the momentum of paying that debt off.
So if you have a credit card that's costing you high interest, 25%, yeah, something like that, and maybe you don't owe a lot on that card, and then you have another card where you owe a lot, but the percentage rate is much lower, what do you attack first?
We always attack the highest interest rate credit card, because that's going to cost you the most on the minimum monthly payment. And then the biggest mistake that our listeners make is that once they pay off the credit card, they shut it down. Because as if the credit card was the evil. It's not the evil. The credit card's not the evil. It's the user of the credit card that needs to control themselves not to use it anymore. Listen, we just had a guy charge $50,000. I have a spot running right now, $50,000 on his credit card, because he was unemployed for almost a year. He had to take care of his family. I mean, what's he going to do? Mm-hmm. Thank God he had availability on his credit card. He put out 50 G's on his credit card, did what he had to do to take care of his family. When he secured a job, gave us a call, took out $50,000 worth of equity out of his home and saved him, I think it's like $800 a month. That's the sort of stuff people have to do what they have to do. I'm not making any judgments. I'm just saying that if you've got the credit cards and you pay it off, don't shut them down. Keep them open in case of an emergency like this individual who had to put on 50 G's when he lost his job. He didn't expect to lose his job, but he lost his job and he had to do what he had to do.
It happens.
It happens. It happens.
We're going to take a quick break and then talk about how to get your credit score up there and also how you're never too old to apply for a mortgage, and we'll also get some decaf for David Hochberg. By the way, David, I know you're not a guy who gambles a lot, but just so you know, London bookmakers currently showing the odds on a Harry and Meghan divorce 3-1.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I thought it'd be lower. Thought it'd be 2-1 or something.
You know, well, it could be by the end of the day. You don't know.
Right.
Let's get back to some of the topics we were talking about before the break. You're never too old to apply for a mortgage, says this headline. True?
Correct. You are never too old. We get calls from listeners all the time in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who think they, for some reason, have to take out a 15-year fixed loan due to the fact of their age. You know, I'm not going to be around when this loan is up. I will tell our listeners right now, if you are a 99-year-old individual, God bless you for making it to 99, number one. You have the credit, the assets, and the income. You could secure a 30-year fixed loan. It's called age discrimination. It's fair housing laws. You can't be discriminated against age, sex, religion, nationality, ethnicity, handicap, all that stuff. You can't be discriminated against. So if you're in your 90s and you want to secure a 30-year fixed loan, which I strongly recommend because it keeps the payment low, you could easily, if you qualify, secure a 30-year fixed loan and not have to worry about your age at all. It's against the law to discriminate against somebody's age.
Do you deal with a lot of folks who are in their 60s, 70s,
sure,
and beyond?
Sure. We're working with a lady called in from the show. She texted in from California, 77 years old, living in a $1 million home with a $400,000 mortgage. She wanted to refinance. Challenges. She only has $4,000 a month coming in, and she wanted to refinance a $400,000 mortgage with the taxes and the insurance. She didn't qualify unless she had a cosigner, so we're talking with her about doing a reverse mortgage, which would free up $2,000 a month for her and make her life a lot more enjoyable at 77 years old to defer the payment instead of making the payment and pocket that $2,000 that's going out right now.
You know, I see those reverse mortgage commercials on television, and to me, it sounds like, well, this is too good to be true. There's something fishy here.
Nothing fishy. The only thing fishy is professional actors that are trying to get you to call an 800 number into a hot box call center out west that you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
You know, these actors that are getting paid hundreds of thousands, not millions of dollars, to talk about a product that they know nothing about, have never originated, and are the only thing they know about the product is what they're reading off the cue card. So if you'd like more information from local reverse mortgage experts, we'd be more than happy to give all your listeners and our listeners a free consultation.
Here's another question for David Hochberg. Is it better to use my IRS tax refund to pay down my mortgage or pay other debts?
Always other debts. In my professional opinion, it's always better to pay off other debts like credit card debt, 15 to 25, 30% credit card debt, because you get immediate savings. You know, you pay, you take that $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 and put it towards your mortgage. You might shave off a month or two. The question is, why are you getting a tax refund from the IRS and giving the IRS a tax-free loan for 12 months? I think you should seriously talk to your tax preparer and figure out how can you take that refund, divide it by 12, then go to your HR department and see with the HR department what you have to do to increase your withholdings to get that money back on a monthly basis so you can pay your credit card debt down $400 to $500 a month, every single month, because you're getting $400 to $500 back instead of getting a refund check of $4,800 to $6,000 sometime in February, at the beginning of February. You should be getting that money back, in my professional opinion. Don't give the IRS a tax-free loan. Get that money back on a weekly basis. Maybe you won't have to load up your credit cards because you've got more money coming back in your paycheck.
Okay, David, take a deep breath.
I know.
Now.
I get all
take
excited.
A deep breath.
I love this, and I get excited. And you throw a 3-2 fastball like that, I got to crush it.
I go to the next question here.
Okay.
To enhance our credit score, is it better to pay down the balance on many cards than to pay a large amount on one card?
It's better to pay down, again, it goes down to total credit utilization. So if you have $10,000 of credit card debt on $10,000 worth of credit card limits, you're at 100% capacity. So if you pay pay down if you start strip mining them and pay a little down on all of them, or just pay one down, it's going to have the same impact. So what I would advise our listeners to do is, again, go back to the credit card that's costing you the most money. Attack that first, have an accomplishment, and then just start working your way backwards to the least expensive. The only difference is if you have a bunch of little these tchotchke, smaller, you know, your credit cards, if you have five credit cards totaling $1,000 or $2,000, and you have $1,000 or $2,000, and you can get rid of five or six of them at one time, nail those, and then work on the big ones. Take all the savings from the five smaller ones, because I've talked to people all the time. I listen to all the time. They have card tables set up, Bob, with their credit cards in accordion form, laying over each other, so when they get paid, they could pick one up, send in a payment. It you don't realize what's going on with our listeners that have this credit card debt. It's scary. So I would much rather them take a large chunk if they have it, and I know it contradicts what I just said, but if you've got five or six smaller ones, take care of five or six smaller ones, knock out maybe 20 to 30% of your credit card debt that you have on the smaller cards, then focus on the big ones. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
But don't be picking on the WGN listeners. This is a countrywide problem.
Oh, this is a nationwide problem.
Yeah.
It is, listeners plural means anybody with ears.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got people listening on their computers in California, overseas, traveling right now. I listened to it when I was in Mexico on my app. You know, it's not just listeners here in Chicago. We have an epidemic of credit card challenges going on. We also have an epidemic of student loan challenges going on that's another thing we're going to talk about next week on our show when Ray Kaplan comes in. So just focus on taking care of the little pieces first, then focus on put all your attentions on the big ones.
All right, before we dismiss you here, everybody wants to improve their credit score. You have any tips for us on that?
Yeah, improving your credit score. My assistant just got married. He's 27, and his wife doesn't have any credit cards. So I'm like, well, get her as an authorized user on your credit cards immediately. She'll gain a pulse because she's non-existent in the credit world. Within about 2 or 3 months, their mailbox will blow up with credit cards offers for her because she's back on the grid. I said, pick something you like, right? If you pass by a gas station and they're offering a discount on gas, get a gas card. If you like to travel, pick American, Delta, or United, or Southwest. Pick an airline that you get free tickets on, right? If you like to go to the mall, you pick a store in the mall that's your favorite store or whatever, get a store card. You know, but get a universal card that's a Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover that you could use all over. But get some points, get some money back. All those offers are out there. Start small. If you need help, we are here to help, but we can't help if you don't call. I know it sounds kind of tacky, but it's true. 855-56-DAVE. And I just want to throw out, we entered into an agreement, a sponsorship with the Blackhawks. We're going to pay somebody's mortgage and rent payment, two listeners' rent payments, two listeners' mortgage payments. You'll have a chance to shoot the puck at center ice on the March game against Nashville on a Sunday. All you have to do is go to Blackhawks.com, click on contests. It's the Team Hochberg free mortgage, free rent contest. It's open to everybody in Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa. You can enter for free. You have to own a house, mortgage payment or rent payment for a year. We're going to pick two winners for rent, two winners for mortgage, shoot at center ice, and you can register through February 29th. Team Hochberg, Blackhawks, shoot the puck contest.
Employees eligible here?
Hey, and listen, if you've got a mortgage, knock yourself out. I think the only people, the employees of the Chicago Blackhawks cannot participate in that, I believe. All the rules and regulations are on the website.
All right, go to Blackhawks.com. We'll check that out. And quickly, true or false, don't discontinue a credit card. Don't close up an account because that'll actually hurt your credit score. Is that right?
If you are trying to rebuild your credit after paying off credit card debt, closing a credit card down after you pay it off is the absolutely worst thing you could do. Do not close down any credit cards if you were trying to rebuild your credit after paying the credit cards off. Keep them open, and I will talk about more. You want to tease? I'll talk about more of that on Saturday on what folks should do, on what our listeners should do at 10:30 when Gary Novell comes on, our credit enhancement expert, with a credit tip. But that's a great point. Never shut a credit card down if you're trying to enhance your credit, especially after paying off credit card debt.
The Home Sweet Home Chicago show is on the radio right here, WGN, David Hochberg, Saturdays 10 to noon. Thanks, David. We will hose you down with cold water and talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
It's 10 after 8, entertainment news time. Dean Richards handles that beat over at WGN-TV. Of course, the big rumor of the day, and I'm confident you know about this, Dean, the rumor that Bob Surratt will be the main anchor of the new program News Nation, the primetime
show starting
this summer on WGN America. Of course, I started that rumor, but it's going around
now. You know, rumors got to start somewhere.
And nobody else
rumors
will start
Rumors do not
it,
start
me.
Themselves.
Well, so. We've moved on now from the Oscar snubs to the Rock Hall of Fame snubs, haven't we?
This happens every year when the Rock Hall of Fame class is announced. Although this was a particularly controversial bunch with Whitney Houston getting inducted yesterday and Notorious B.I.G. and lots of rap stars. People arguing that this is the Rock Hall of Fame, and that you should either call it something else or put rockers into it. But one group of fans in particular are really upset, and those are fans of the Dave Matthews Band. Every year since 2013, the Rock Hall of Fame has included as a voice into who gets inducted fans. So fans vote, and every year fans. Their number one pick get inducted. This year, the Dave Matthews Band got 100,000 votes and a leading vote getter, and they were not inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So the fans are very upset by that. Pat Benatar was the number two person, and both would argue that they also belong into the Rock Hall of Fame. There's a long list of people who have been up for consideration every year, classic names in rock that are still not in there. So people are still going to be upset pretty much no matter what you do. But the Dave Matthews Band fans are not happy. Dave Matthews himself tweeted out a message saying that he was just congratulating the people that got in. He's taking the high road on it all.
Why do they even have the fan vote? Why do they even publicize it?
Yeah, if they're going to ignore it, it doesn't make sense to me of why. I honestly don't understand why, for the first time since they've had this fan vote, that they've completely ignored it.
I think also when, nothing against them personally, but T-Rex is on the list, and you think, Dave Matthews or T-Rex, who has contributed more to rock music?
You would think, T-Rex fans might argue, but
Bang a gong.
I hope it's not that T-Rex.
It's 8:13. Some big summer concerts have been announced. Dean Richards has that list for us and more. Checking in with Dean Richards at Channel 9 Entertainment News this morning. And some big summer concerts just announced. What are the highlights, Dean?
Yeah, these are going to be pretty good shows. And it just makes me feel better when the weather is cold outside and we have snow coming and, all that we can think about summertime and being outside and enjoying some shows.
Yeah.
Just announced Bon Jovi will be coming to town with Bryan Adams. Two big names on one bill. It's going to be July 21st at the United Center. If you are a Bon Jovi fan club member or have one of those American Express cards, you can start buying your tickets next Tuesday. Otherwise, you have to wait until the following Friday for that. Also, Steely Dan will be coming to the Chicago area with Steve Winwood. So we've got a couple of nostalgia tours here. That show will be at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park June 26th, and tickets will go on sale a week from Saturday for that one.
And let's talk a little bit about your conversation. What was it yesterday with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence?
Yeah, that's where I was yesterday morning. I was in Hollywood, right in front of the famous Chinese Theater. They had the premiere of the new Bad Boys movie. Bad Boys for Life is what it's called. The third in this franchise. It's been 25 years since the first Bad Boys movie came out that really put Will Smith and Martin Lawrence on the map as movie stars. They both had been extremely successful in television and in music. But now they're back together again in this new movie, and on the red carpet, we not only talked with Will and Martin, but Joe Pantaleone, Joey Pants, is back in the movie as well, and Vivica Fox. Take a listen. I'm wondering what it was like 25 years after the first one, getting back into this. Does the chemistry just come right back on and doing the stunts and things like that similarly easy, or also 25 years a little more difficult?
Yeah, well, in terms of the chemistry, the 25 years did us some good. It got seasoned.
Yes.
Yeah, it matured. We matured as performers. In terms of the stunts, 25 years was tragic.
You've been up close and personal with this energy and chemistry between these two guys. How do you describe that?
Just, you know, it's magical. They love each other so much. And you know, it's fun.
I could not miss tonight. So I got on a plane. It was all to myself. And I'm glad that I made it here in time to support my friends. I worked with Martin Lawrence back in the day on his show, Martin. And I was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And we did Independence Day today, back in the day. And then here we are for Bad Boys 3.
Getting back into the stunts and everything.
Yeah.
A little more difficult. The age and everything. My back ain't the way it used to be when I was young.
Yeah.
But no excuses. We got the job done.
Yeah. I like that. We got the job done, son.
tell us to go and see this movie.
Oh, my goodness. Go see the movie. You know it's a good movie. Make sure you go see the movie.
Yeah, fun.
Sadly, this is a sad statement on me. My goal when I got on that red carpet yesterday was to get him to do his Shanae-Nae character somehow.
Hey,
that's all I wanted to get.
Whatever amuses
that carpet
us.
Yesterday, and he delivered.
Yeah, and talking about stunts and working out as you get older, Mark Wahlberg accepted a challenge from Dr. Oz. Tell us about this.
Doesn't Mark Wahlberg seem like the last guy you want to throw down with in some kind of physical battle?
Yes, definitely.
I would never challenge him with anything. This guy is just like, you know, built amazing. Dr. Oz made a public statement that people do not need to eat breakfast. It's unnecessary. That the old adage that we've heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, Dr. Oz says, is not true. Mark Wahlberg, when he heard that statement, says that he completely disagrees with him. He's not a doctor, but this is Mark Wahlberg's regime in the morning. He wakes up at 2:30 in the morning. He works out, just like Bob and I do every day. I mean, the waking up at 2:30 part. Then he works out, he eats breakfast, and then he works out again after he eats breakfast. And he said that he disagrees with Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz says he's wrong, and he challenges Mark Wahlberg to a contest of one-legged push-ups. You know, where you do regular push-ups, but one leg has to be kind of planked and not on the ground at all. Wahlberg says that he accepts the challenge. He goes, you go ahead and do your little one-legged push-ups. Just make sure you have a defibrillator there when you do it, because he's going to wipe the ground with him, he says.
You know, the deal about breakfast now, yes, the studies now and the experts say fasting is good for long periods of time, so you're not supposed to eat now between, like, you know, 6 or 7 p.m. and, you know, maybe 11 in the morning the next day, something like that. That's the latest. I don't know who to believe anymore.
I would be starving in the morning. You need some fuel to get going.
Need something. Yeah.
You know, I'm not a doctor, of course. Well, I have the expert opinion on this. I just know I'm hungry when I wake up in the morning. I do try to stop eating fairly early in the evening. I don't like to go to bed on a, you know, full stomach.
That's a good idea.
That part I do. But yeah. when I wake up, I want some oatmeal. I want some something.
Donuts.
Donuts.
You know, we used to have the fruit bowl on the set of Fox Thing in the Morning to counteract
all of that junk that you get at television and radio stations.
Right. Yeah. Famously, there are donuts, cakes, sides of beef.
Yeah, the sodium nitrite buffet, usually somewhere in the lunchroom.
Somewhere everywhere, right.
Monday is a holiday for some people, Martin Luther King Day, and we have some interesting comments from Tyler Perry on this, don't we?
Yeah, Tyler Perry, actually on the cast of his new movie, were all in town yesterday, and it's a Netflix movie that will debut tomorrow. And it's a little bit different for a Tyler Perry movie. It's a drama, number one, but it's a mystery. Very interestingly put together. Tyler Perry directs and has a small role in it, but it stars Felicia Rashad and Bresha Webb and Crystal Fox, Cicely Tyson, among others. Really nice ensemble in the movie. While we had them all together, we thought we would ask what Dr. King meant to them, Dr. King and his movement of nonviolence, for which he was so famous. Here's Tyler Perry.
I don't know if anybody here living today could really fully understand what that meant, because we haven't been in had those experiences where people are screaming at us and spitting on us and doing all of those things and chanting all those kind of horrible epithets and still maintain, I am not going to hit you back. The power in that and the restraint in that is so beyond anything that we could ever imagine.
He took that lesson from Mahatma Gandhi. Mm. He actually traveled to India and spent time with Mahatma Gandhi talking about this very thing.
With my generation, we have so much fight in us, and we allow things to affect us in a way that makes us put our guard up. And the thing that I still have so, you know, that I'm just in awe of just everyone of that time is that how they were poised and raised up for that moment.
I'm torn a lot. My aunt was Nina Simone. So the strength of her fight and that part of me wants to fight. Yeah. And then the other part is I see the power and the dignity of standing in who you know you are and letting them show out. Just let them show out. All you do is you show up.
Yeah, that's Crystal Fox. I never knew she was the niece of Nina Simone.
Yeah, neither did I.
Very interesting. But interesting thoughts, interesting comments and reflections all these years later. 50 years since Dr. King was assassinated. But, you know, just thinking back on the kinds of things that he espoused, his positions on things, his history here in Chicago is legendary, all of which we will reflect upon more on Monday.
Dean, do you have time to do this? I want to watch that show, The Morning Show, on Apple Plus, and I can't figure out how to get Apple Plus on my television. Would you come over to the house and help me with that? Can you do that?
A lot of people don't know this, that for anybody on WGN, if they have problems not only you know, getting certain apps up on their sets, but even if they're having problems with their sets, with their toasters, appliances around the house, I strap on the tool belt, if you'll excuse the expression, and I'm happy to come. Sometimes I do woodwork.
So you make a house call.
Yeah, I'm happy, to do that.
Yeah, I can't. I got the smart TV, but apparently I'm dumb. Dave, have you figured this out?
I'd be happy to come help you.
Please.
I've done it. I watched every episode of that show.
Yeah. Yeah. Dean, you like that show, don't you?
I liked it. I'm not sure if it's great.
Yeah.
Did you love it, Dave?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
but I guess I would agree with you. But
I was satisfied. Not one of these shows where you're going to be blown away by it all. And plus, you know, working on a morning show, you're constantly looking at things that would have never happened in a million years. It was like when WKRP in Cincinnati was on.
Yeah.
It's like they could never do anything. Like, you can't just put an arm of a turntable on a record and the music's just going to instantly start. You know, you're picking at things that nobody else would
know. Like, you never dropped turkeys out of a plane when you were on the radio, Dean?
Never did.
There is one thing that hits home. It's the repeated shot of the 3:30 a.m. alarm. Mm. Going on.
Yeah, we don't need to be reminded about that. I guess maybe I don't need to see that after.
Sorry about that. Right. That's a good feeling.
We'll watch you on Channel 9. Right. Talk to you. Thanks,
you,
Dean.
Bye.
And a big tip of the WGN Morning Show with Bob Surratt mug to Paul Sullivan, the Chicago Tribune's baseball columnist. He's the 2019 Illinois Sports Writer of the Year. The National Sports Media Association announced this. It's the third time Paul, a 38-year Tribune veteran, has won the honor. He's a good guy. He's a fun guy. He's a smart, witty writer. And congratulations to Paul. I know, Dave, you know him well, and he's certainly deserving of the honor.
Absolutely. Great honor for him. And also Pat Foley, the voice of the Blackhawks, was the sportscaster of the year.
Oh, good for Pat. All right. Yep. Didn't hear that. The Los Angeles City Council is expected to vote within the next week on a resolution urging Major League Baseball to recall the championship trophies presented to the Houston Astros in 2017 and the Red Sox in 2018 and award them to the Los Angeles Dodgers. How about that?
Well, while we're on the subject, how about taking the 1984 National League pennant and awarding that to the Cubs? Just because.
Okay, why not?
Just because.
As long as we're doing this,
yeah.
The L.A. councilman, who is one of the sponsors of the resolution, has Dodger Stadium in his district. He said he expects the council to approve this. And as of late yesterday, the city clerk had not determined what day the resolution would come up for a vote.
Or what day the parades are going to be.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about the incident at the end of the Democratic debate the other night. You've probably seen the video and heard about it. Did you hear the audio, though? Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Bernie Sanders were talking at the end of the debate, and words were exchanged. They didn't shake hands, and until this morning, I guess, nobody knew exactly what they were talking about. So we have the audio clip here. This is my favorite news bite of the morning. As of Tuesday night, neither campaign confirmed what was said, but then, I guess it was CNN, they released the audio. And listen to this, because you're going to hear the exchange between Senator Warren and Senator Sanders at the end of the debate when they didn't shake hands. And then the exchange is interrupted at the very end by candidate Tom Steyer. Here it is. Listen.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me a liar. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, you called me a liar. No, you called me a liar. You called me a... Man, oh, man. There you go. Your Democratic candidates, or two of them anyway. 841. Alderman Brendan Riley is going to join us. He's the 42nd Ward Representative, which includes the downtown Central Business District. And we're going to talk about some city business, and in particular, those rubber poles that we've seen at various corners in Chicago and the painted little piece of that intersection. We're not sure what they are, so we asked Alderman Riley to explain why they put them there and what they're there for. I'm thinking now that it has something to do with protecting bikers, but we'll find out. Right after a couple of announcements, including the weather update today. Sunny and bright and no heat. Steve?
Absolutely correct, Bob. And high near 24, wind chills in the teens today, thanks to gusty winds out of the west right now at 16 miles per hour. And then a low of 15 tonight before snow arrives tomorrow. Mid to late afternoon arrival west of Chicago, shortly after the sun goes down in the city of Chicago. We could see several inches of snow tomorrow night. And we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. Right now in Chicago, 16 at O'Hare, 17 at Midway, 20 at the lakefront. The wind chill is 2.
The Blackhawks win again. The Bulls get a win, and the Bears continue shaping their coaching staff.
And traffic is sponsored by Townstone Financial. North on Lakeshore Drive, bit heavy still into 31st due to earlier police activity in that area. Otherwise, Edens is recovering. The outbound Kennedy about 36 to the airport. Still an hour, though, coming in from O'Hare. 42 from the Edens. Eisenhower also an hour from 390. From Mannheim, 42 minutes, 24 outbound to Mannheim. The Stevenson inbound, 42 from the Tri-State. The Ryans, 25 from 95th. Bishop Ford, 57, still slow from 103rd. Watch for that overturned truck in Stickney, southbound Central near Pershing, and also Metro Union Pacific West Line train 36 due in at about 9 o'clock is running 20 minutes late with mechanical problems. I'm Mary Vandeveld from the IDOT Traffic Center, reminding you to drive responsibly. It really is a matter of life or death.
Townsend Financial is synonymous with great rates, low closing costs, and phenomenal service to the thousands who have completed purchases and refinances with us since 2002. Hi, my name is Barry Sterner, owner of Townsend Financial. Let's hear from Jim, who just completed a no-cost refinance with Townsend Financial.
I would recommend Townsend to anybody. Anybody, and I do. I always knew where we were. I knew the dates. I knew when I had to have information. There was no fire drills. The overall experience was, I mean, off the charts. I've not experienced, there's very few companies that I've encountered that really deliver that customer experience, and that's what sets you guys apart, hands down.
Remember, nobody values your business more than Townsend Financial, and I'm always available to answer your questions. Call me now at 312-896-2110. That's 312-896-2110, or go to Townstone.com. That's TOWNSTONE.com.
Townsend Financial is licensed in Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida. NMLS 136639. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Equal housing lender.
What's a Zoom room? It's what your conference room is meant to be, with flawless video and audio conferencing, instant wireless content sharing from any device, and just one tap of a button to start a meeting. Any space can easily become a modern, simple-to-use Zoom room, from huddle rooms to executive offices to huge training rooms. And whether you have a few rooms or a few thousand, Zoom Rooms is effortlessly scalable. Sign up online for a free 30-day trial of Zoom Rooms and meet happy with Zoom.
Grandview buys homes. And if you're thinking about selling your home, I know you're dreading that long and painful process. It doesn't have to be that difficult. Grandview will buy your home today as is. No repairs needed, not even a clean out. And we will treat you with dignity and respect. You've been told that selling your home in cold weather months is even more difficult. Not so with Grandview. It doesn't matter what time of year you want to sell. Why go another winter with a home you no longer want? Start fresh today. Grandview is the name you know and trust. Visit us at GrandviewHomes.com.
It is 8:45, and we're joined by the alderman here. Are you the alderman here in our neighborhood?
I sure am.
Okay. Good to have you here. Brendan Riley, 42nd Ward. That includes Chicago's Central Business District.
That's correct.
And first off, we want to clear up a mystery. And I noticed this. Folks around here noticed these things. Nobody knew what they were for. Rubber poles at certain intersections. And also, those little areas are painted a different color. What are they? Why are they there? What's going on?
Sure. So that's actually a pilot project, and you're probably seeing a lot of these on State Street, mostly between Kinsey and Chicago Avenue. The city of Chicago in recent years has gotten very good at data analytics. We spend a lot of time looking at crash data. And State Street was identified as one of the most dangerous pedestrian corridors in the city of Chicago based on crash data. And so as a result of that, we had a Vision Zero task force, which really represented every nook and cranny of downtown Chicago, building owners, transit advocates, AARP, anyone who uses the right-of-way was involved in this about year-long task force. How can we make these streets safer? This is one of the outcomes of that task force. Rather than install permanent concrete, we've used paint and plastic bollards to create narrower intersections so that pedestrians have less feet to travel in unprotected traffic. It has a traffic calming effect. When you see these encroachments in the street, it naturally plays a trick on your mind and forces you to slow down. So we've seen where these have been installed in other places, they work very well. But the reason there's paint and plastic right now is that if we found that this wasn't effective, it could be reversed. And so after we've had this in place for another year or so, we'll reevaluate. And if it seems to have improved our statistics, we may replace that with permanent concrete and permanent bollards. If we find it really hasn't had a net impact, it may be removed, but we'll see.
I saw a couple of corners with the paint on the pavement and the rubber poles, I think, on North State Street,
sure,
towards Kinsey.
Mm-hmm.
And so is the plan, if this works, would these be all over the city?
Well, and again, the stretch that we're talking about on State Street is all north of the river. Really, essentially, it starts at Kinsey and ends at Chicago Avenue. You'll see more of this in the high crash corridors that have been identified, and the city's identified a couple dozen of those. They're not all just downtown. So, no, this would not be something you would expect on every single street in the downtown central core, just those areas where, frankly, we need traffic calming and more safety instruments to protect people. And the vast majority of the people I represent downtown, they live here and they work here. They're walking. They're not driving cars.
Yeah, I noticed it, and most people thought it had something to do with people who ride bicycles. I was talking about it earlier this morning, and folks were texting us, some angry, that this is a pain for people who are driving, and why are we doing this for bicycle riders? But it has nothing to do with the bikers.
No, this is really all about pedestrians. We have bollards that protect bike lanes throughout the Central Business District, but this is a different program. This is really about protecting people, especially folks who have a disability. If you're blind or you have a mobility issue, you really don't want to have to traverse, 40 feet of unprotected roadway. Mm-hmm. We want to shorten that trip for you to make it safer.
All right. Good to clear up that mystery. Let's talk a little bit about some business at the city council meeting regarding the polystyrene containers and a limit on plastic forks, knives, and straws. And I know the president of the Illinois Restaurant Association is concerned about this. Fill us in here.
And I'm concerned, too. I represent about 1,200 or so restaurants in downtown Chicago, and many of those are small businesses. They're not these big mega conglomerates. And these kinds of policies can impact the bottom line. In the restaurant industry, by the way, they operate on a very thin margin. So all of these things are additional inputs that take down that slim margin. Alderman Wagasback is a friend and a colleague, and I respect him on this issue. I think his intent is good. We have too much of this material ending up in our waterways and our water system. I'm hoping we can negotiate a compromise on this, but I think there are a lot of good components in his ordinance, things that aren't really heavy-handed regulation. Things as simple as don't automatically put the condiment packets and the plasticware and the straws in the to-go bag. Have that be a request. Those little things can really move the needle. And so in those areas of his ordinance, I do appreciate it. When it comes to the styrene, I just want to make sure that there is a cost comparable alternative for that, so that we're not driving up that cost for restaurateurs. And my hope is there are affordable alternatives. But again, my concern is, of course, we have to protect the environment. There's a lot more to be done. Other countries are already doing this. But this is a pretty fragile economy right now. And the city has passed a raft of new regulations that impact restaurant owners and business owners. And every single one of these things adds up. And so I just want to make sure this isn't too heavy-handed, and it's something that that folks can work into their bottom line.
We're talking to Alderman Brendan Riley of the 42nd Ward about what happened at the city council meeting yesterday. And as we mentioned, styrofoam to-go boxes could be banned. Single-use plastics could be limited at Chicago restaurants under this proposal. And here's what the Illinois Restaurant Association President Sam Tola said about all of this. There's a lot of anxiety out there with these small business owners. A lot of education and communication needs to go on both sides to see if we can get to a middle and not kill the quick service small restaurants that are the backbone of our 77 neighborhoods. And so, Alderman, this is what you're saying you're concerned with, too. Sam Tola argued the ordinance would impose a severe hardship on restaurants already forced to endure a host of increased costs. They include a higher minimum wage, an increased restaurant tax, paid sick leave, a ban on plastic bags that was ultimately replaced by a bag tax, a predictable scheduling ordinance, and higher property taxes. I'm hearing a lot about the minimum wage and some concern among not just really small restaurant operators, but some of the bigger ones, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's forced owners and operators to change the way they schedule. You're seeing larger operators automating. If you go through a drive-through window in many of the quick-serve places, you actually see robots pouring your drinks now. Mm-hmm. If you go into some of the fast food restaurants in the Loop, you're not interacting with a human being. You're making your order on a touchscreen. Those are the unintended consequences of raising the living wage. I think everyone agrees that the minimum wage is too low. My preference is that the federal minimum wage be raised so that certain states or neighbors don't get a leg up. And so it's interesting when you were talking about What Sam was saying from the Restaurant Association, it sounds like we agree 100%. I've been here on the council for 13 years and am one of the voices for the business community. And I'm actually one of the few folks that serve on the city council that actually worked in the private sector and had to manage a budget and work the ledger. All of these things add up. And even though these are, I think, good priorities, people should make a living wage, there are consequences when you have to endure a raft of new regulations and mandates. And so, again, I think the polystyrene thing, it's well-intended. I'm hoping we can work it out, a compromise that does not sock it to the business owner and also helps protect the environment. But my colleagues need to look at this the policymaking through a slightly different lens. They need to put themselves in the shoes of the person who employs people and is responsible for paychecks every month.
And as you mentioned, your ward downtown here, not only do you have all the businesses, but you have a lot of people living here now, mm-hmm. too. So parking is an issue. We were talking to Alderman Burnett here the other morning, and, of course, the West Loop is his area.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to park. All the fees are increasing. What are the solutions? Are there any?
Well, yeah, that's a really complicated. How much time you got, Bob?
Not enough.
It's a really complicated issue. Yeah, Walter Burnett, the West Loop area is getting parking meters for the first time ever, and the rates will be pretty substantial. The reason why you can't find a parking space in the West Loop, frankly, is because it's been free parking, and all of our friends from the suburbs that commute downtown park their car there all day. Take a cab into the loop, mm-hmm. and then they go, it's all you can eat. It's pig out free parking buffet. And so I'm, you know, I know Walter's constituents probably aren't looking forward to parking meters, but I can tell you this, with the rates that they're imposing, you'll see a lot more turnover, and I think you'll see more availability, which is good for businesses. Businesses want churn in parking spaces. They don't want the suburbanite to take it up for 9 hours. They want multiple shoppers to use it throughout the day. So I do think that there'll be a benefit for the West Loop.
All right, stop picking on us suburbanites, will you? I grew up here in the city, spent most of my life here, so I consider myself both a city resident and a suburban guy. It's Alderman Brendan Riley, 42nd Ward. Thanks for coming in, and hope you keep us posted on city council doings.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Have a great day.
You too.
And a reminder here, if you want to get in touch with us, anything that we did today that you want to know more about or comment on, we have a couple ways for you to do that. The phone number and the text number is the same, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we have the email set up now. It's bobshow@wgnradio.com. There's a BS in the middle of that. It's not Bob's show. It's just bobshow@wgnradio.com. Here's a giggling John Williams. Hi, John.
Better believe there's some BS in the middle of that.
Yes, there is. What's up?
I don't know. So they're going to do some cruises on the Great Lakes. I'll tell you a little bit about those. Illinois is one of the leading states for getting robocalls. How do you avoid all the robocalls you get?
More than ever on the cell phone. And the number, it looks like it's coming from a number right in your area or your own number.
Pretty much if I don't see the name displayed, then I go, they'll leave a message. But we'll give you a few tips about that. And we'll talk more about the plastic utensils and foam containers. All coming up on the show today.
Okay, it's good to go. And we are too. Thanks for listening. And we will see you tomorrow.